When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's right, the Quack Attack is back, baby! We're here, Mighty Ducks Game Changers. As always, Kevin Mahadeo, Brooklyn, New York, along with my co-host...
Melissa Woodward, Vancouver, Canada.
Quack, quack, Melissa!
I'm back! Troy did such a good job! That was such a delight to listen to. And thank you, Troy, for coming in and holding down the fort for us. I loved hearing his insights about the show, and... that was so great. I really loved having him back on the podcast. And then I was jealous that I like couldn't be a part of that conversation. So, yeah,
it was great to have Troy sub in as a hitter. But then we both got put into the penalty box for like 2 weeks. Who knew? Like what a penalty we must have committed on the ice. It was so rough. We dare not speak about it here on this podcast.
Well, the problem was that... Kevin and I were like going to record in person together and then basically didn't want to spend our like actual chance to hang out recording a podcast. Instead, we just actually hung out and met in person, which was very cool.
Yeah, we hit the ice here in New York. We didn't. We didn't do any of that. But no. we hit ice drinks, I guess. That was great times. Yeah. Really fun times meeting in person and hanging out. But we're back here now on the metaphorical ice to talk about episodes 3 and 4 of Mighty Ducks Game Changers, talking about the episode we missed last week and talking about this week's episode. Listen, I know, Melissa, last time we spoke, we were still iffy on the season. Now, do I think this season is hitting the heights of season 1? No. Am I actually still highly entertained by this season? I think yes. I laughed literally out loud at certain parts on these past 2 episodes I did not expect to. And that's sort of what I still love is the show has these moments of humor that really get me.
Yeah, I think episode 4 is my favorite episode of the season so far. I was feeling a bit unsure. And I thought it was so interesting listening last week or at the episode 2 when Troy's like, I'm not sure who this show is for. And I was like, I was having the exact same question of like, because it felt like season 1 was very much a combo of like, hey, are you nostalgic for the series from the 90s and also might have kids of your own now? Like, watch this together with them. And it felt like that was the audience. And now it certainly feels like it's much more focused on the kid demographic and less so on the nostalgia, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It is a Disney Plus show, but yeah, I'm invested. There were a few jokes in these episodes. We'll see if we get to calling them out that I thought were real weird. I was like, I don't know who this joke is for, but otherwise, episode 4, I think has been my favorite to date. And episode 3 was pretty good too. There's definitely some lines that made me laugh.
Yeah. We'll definitely talk about all of that. We'll get to 4. We're going to start with episode 3 though, right? Coach Classic, which I'm glad the amount of times they called it out in this episode, because the premise of this is that this is a yearly thing they do where essentially it's the kids versus the coaches, all of whom are basically former NHL players, which just seems psychotic and incredibly, incredibly unfair.
Yeah, I guess the age difference here is interesting because they're, for the most part, probably, what, are they like 15?
By this point, they've got to be like 14, 15, right?
14, 15, yeah. So they're like maybe a bit young. I think if they were seniors in high school, you could certainly see, okay, these kids are maybe about to join the NHL, some of them, versus this group who has played and are now probably retired. You could sort of see that dynamic. This, they're too young at this point that you can tell that they're just going to get clobbered. And they say it, the coaches always win. Yeah. And so it is a bit of a weird thing that I'm not quite sure why I see the point of this, but I guess they think it's fun.
I mean, Coach Cole certainly does. He calls it at one point smash mouth hockey, which obviously is about being smashed in the mouth, but like missed opportunity for a smash mouth reference. Just
you're an all-star. First we have team, the all-stars and the original Mighty Ducks, and now we have smash mouth hockey. It's all coming together.
It's all coming together. I mean, somebody once told me the coaches were going to roll me, and boy, do they. So the setup here is that 10 players will be picked at quote-unquote random, which we all knew wasn't going to be random at all. And through this, we find out, like, Evan obviously wants to be picked, you know? Sophie, not so much. We already are seeing, like, the little pieces and cracks that will become much more prevalent in episode 4. But we also find out because Jace wakes up. Evan doesn't get one. Nick is ecstatic he doesn't get one. But Jace, Dakota's son, does have one. Shocker. And even he calls it out, just like, oh, random, huh? But what's really interesting here is that we do find out a backstory about Jace, which I actually ended up really liking. He was such a, like, no character for, like, the first two episodes he was there. But the idea that he was pressured so badly that he had a mental breakdown is holy shit. Cole, get it together, my man.
Yeah, he's basically like the Annie from Community of hockey, I guess. You know, it's like that kind of comparison where the pressure got to him so badly that he had to, you know, that it all came crashing down around him. And I get it, right? If Coach Cole is your dad, clearly there's been this huge amount of pressure his entire life. And it seemed like for a while he really thrived under that, and then it, you know, it hit a tipping point and it was too much. So yeah, I've been enjoying getting to know Jace as a character a bit in this and seeing and like the moment that we'll get to at basically the end of episode 4, I thought was this really nice payoff by that point where like, yeah, okay, I'm excited to see where this character goes. I think he's worth kind of learning more about. It's yeah, and then it's funny seeing Coach Cole, who like clearly thinks he's being a good dad. But doesn't know how to do that.
What I do like here, right, it's there's an obvious level of bad dads that exist. And usually when it's a bad dad in a show, especially like a sports show, you're just like, oh, this dad, like, you know, he's the bad guy because the way he pressures his kid. But there's almost like, I don't know if it's the way Josh Duhamel is playing it. I think certainly there's a moment in episode 4 that we'll talk about that I thought was spectacular. But he doesn't feel like he's doing this out of like, I don't know, like nefarious, not necessarily nefarious, right? But like, he just thinks this is him, you know, trying to help his son, right? Like he legitimately thinks he's trying to do a good thing, but he doesn't quite understand. And he's not like forcing it in the way some of those bad dads do. It's actually handled, I think, pretty solidly. I mean,
yeah,
this sort of works out in a little bit, right? Because like he wants Jace to play. And like Jace gives Evan his jersey and just like, you take it. And Alex is like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's I agree. He's clearly thinks he's trying to do what's right. And you can sort of see the logic of what he's saying, where he's like, you just have to get back out there. It's, you know, and he, I think it's like he's trying to encourage and it's just coming across so intense. He just like doesn't know how to dial that back at all. And so, yeah, it makes him, I don't really, I think you and Troy talked about this as well. It's like, is this guy supposed, he's clearly some sort of like antagonistic force in this show, but I don't think we're supposed to dislike him. I think he's just got a very different approach than Alex does. It's not, this is not our Coach Riley from the first movie, right? Like this is more Coach Orion, as we were saying, right? Where it's like, okay, it's not that he's a bad guy. He's actually like, you know, a fairly sympathetic character. It's just that he has a very different approach than like the classic Ducks approach, which to most sports people is like, yeah, no, your approach is weird. And like, that's not actually going to work very well. Like this is how you get to be really good at hockey is you try really hard. And this whole like steel sharpens steel, play people better than you to get better mentality is like legit sports training, right? Like you don't get better by playing other people just at your level. And so much of what he's trying to do isn't wrong. It's just not this kind of fairy tale, you know, the scrappy underdogs triumph over everybody story that the Mighty Ducks get to have.
Yeah, it's so interesting, the steel versus steel thing. And I think there's always like There is a level where if it gets too rough, where it's just like you go out there and steel versus steel. Like if you hit that like strongest survive, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Then you're sort of bordering. It's like, I think a level of toxicity, but the idea of like playing people better than you or learning from each other, especially in the realm of sports, I think is super, super vital. There was a point, like I used to do martial arts and I remember being at like a training camp and like you're there and you're fighting, you know, people and you're sparring with people better than you. But like the benefit is you're learning so much by doing that. And I did. I learned a lot of stuff there. People learned from me too. Like people who are higher like levels than me, like picked up little things. I remember I was sparring someone and I got like, and he was higher than me and like he was obviously taking it easy at certain points, but I got like a good shot on him because I did a sort of tricky move. And it was one of those moments where I was excited because I did something, I got a hit in, and it was a tricky move. And like later on he did an exhibition match and he did the fake out move I did.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, holy shit, like that was such an awesome moment, because it was like, and that's the perfect example, right? Like you can learn from each other, and as long as you're not taking it this aggressive way, it's good.
And there's just like certainly a cap on that, right? Like if you get completely blown out, you know, you've never got any shot, which is sort of what this like coach versus kids game feels like. You don't actually necessarily learn from that because you don't actually get to play that much. You're just sort of being played at rather than being played with or against. So, yeah, I think that there is sort of a cap. And this is the, kind of the thing is that like it's not that Cole's wrong. He just like dials everything up too much and he just needs to like dial it back down a little bit. And then it's, you know, then the approach isn't so bad. Exactly. I do love this line, though, and I had to shut it out, where they're talking about opening the door to the getting the jersey. And he says it's like Christmas if you come from a very violent family.
Yes.
That was very funny.
Because I think he says that, and like in the clip show that they're playing, someone gets smashed in the face right at that moment.
Yeah. And Nick's response is, if I get picked for this, remember me fondly. Tell my story. Yes.
Tell my story. Nick continues to be just solid gold throughout this series. But yeah, as we mentioned, right, like you have this moment and there's something that happens in between, but we'll get to. But just to set up the context here, Jace doesn't want it. He gives it to Evan while Evan is having a conversation with Alex. Alex, who is basically saying just like, yeah, I'm so sorry you didn't get picked. I know how much you wanted it, you know, but like, it's okay. Like that, them's the breaks. Like just trying to be like, I'm sorry you didn't get picked either. And then Jace comes over and just like, here, take it. And Alex immediately is just like, no, you can't play. What are you doing?
Yeah. Which... that was very funny because I was like, there's no way. She's just doing the like, oh yeah, bummer, whatever. And then the moment that those tables are turned, she goes, oh yeah, you're not gonna play in that game. Well, I lied. I mean, you're my baby and you weren't playing in the game. You're not playing against NHL players. They get injured all the time in the lower body and upper body. There's no other parts of the body.
Yep, just as she says later, destroy both halves of your body. It's great. But I actually do kind of side with Evan on this. Like, I get where she's coming from, and it's also because, again, like we said, I think the conceit of it is good, but the coaches are turning it up to 11, and like at that point, you're not teaching them anymore. Like, you're just putting them through hell, which is not how you do stuff like this about the steel sharpening steel. So I, on one hand, I'm like, I get it, like, because we know it's like it's rough. But on the other hand, don't play those lies, because that's the thing, right? Like, you're lying to him by pretending that you wish that he could play, and then you get called out on your lie. Never the spot to be in.
Yeah, she loses the high ground pretty quickly here. And so, yeah, he does the whole like, you said you weren't going to be my mom here, so you're not. Yep. So I'm going to play.
Which also is because you get this moment when Coach and her, Coach Cole and Alex talk, they realize, like, they find out what happened. Cole is just like, I didn't give him a jersey. And she's just like, I know you gave it to Jace, and Jace gave it to him. And she's just like, I don't want him to play. And he's just like, I don't want Jace not to. Like, and they have this one. It's like, wait, we both want the same thing. Yeah. And I love when the coach confronts Jace. And I still don't know this character's name, but the assistant comes in with him.
It's Marnie, by the way. We get her name in this episode. And I was finally like, okay, thank goodness. I can stop calling her Karen in my notes.
You said Marnie?
Marnie, yeah.
Marnie. So, like, Jace comes in with Marnie. And he's just like, I know what happened. Like, Marnie told me everything. And her line where she's like, he broke me so easily. And then she says, quote, I promise I will get better at lying to kids.
I wrote down this one too.
The funniest line of the series. I literally laughed out loud. Her delivery, perfection. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, it's so, because I think this character is one that is a bit, you know, one note. Like, she's clearly here for a bit of a joke. And yet, like, she keeps saying things that just absolutely crack me up. And I don't know. It's always good. And I think it's just that this actress is incredible. And, like, as we know, we talked about her in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She's really great in that, too. But, yeah, this, like, I have to get better at lying to kids. Or I promise I will get better at lying to kids. It's just so good.
It's so good. Another perfect example of why I think this series is so delightful to me. Because, like, you have great comedic people also giving great comedic deliveries. And, like, moments like this, the dialogue is just A+. While all this is going on, let's hit the other subplot happening, because all the kids get care packages from their parents. Inside is candy for almost everyone. Nick's two moms, who are very loving and caring, sent him a whole ass box of candy.
The four basic candy groups.
Yes.
Caramels, hard candies, chocolates, and chews, along with fuzzy slippers for cold nights.
Now, a quick question here, of course. Which is your candy preference of those? What was it? Caramel, hard candy, chews,
and chews. Chocolate. It's chocolate, easily. Like,
interesting.
Yeah. There's none of these even come close. Like, yeah, no.
Caramel and chews are where I'm at. Like, I love a good Haribo gummy bear. I just love caramel as a whole. I'm a big fan of
So I like caramel, like, in, I don't know if you have these in the US. Do you have, like, the Caramilk bars that are like chocolate with caramel in them? Or is this a Canadian thing?
We have versions of that, but that sounds incredible.
Yeah, they're really good. But, like, that's the kind of thing I like, where the caramel is, like, you know, gooey and mm-hmm. in a chocolate. And I don't like a hard caramel. I'm just, like, not.
I'm not into the hard caramel, right? Which I do think would fall into the hard candy category. That's probably more like Jolly Ranchers. But yes, I love a good chewy caramel. I think it's the chewy sweetness is where I'm at, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I like a good chocolate, but given the options, I always kind of go towards the chews. The only time I like it, have like a hard candy too, is like, I take gummy bears and put it in my froyo because it makes them hard momentarily. But then you eat them, it like softens. It's delicious. I'm a big fan of doing that.
That sounds great. Yeah. I'm not generally a big candy person at all. But ironically enough, the time that I actually eat the most candy is at sports tournaments, because when I'm playing Ultimate Frisbee and I just need like that quick hit of like sugar that I can eat really quickly. I would buy these like kind of real fruit candy things that, like, I don't know, they're just sugar in a thing, but I would, like, you know, I'm off for a little bit. So I, like, you know, eat a couple and then I go out and play again. So
there's precedent here. Like, sending candies, like these candies to kids are like, I didn't know. I was just like, well, I guess they just want to send their kids candy, but there's precedent. That makes sense.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, there's worse things you can eat. I got called out, actually. It's a weird story. I was at tryouts earlier in the year, and we had kind of a rotation of different things that you went through, that, you know, you did different types of drills and stuff. But one of the things that we did is they had a nutritionist come, and they were talking about like proper nutrition for training and stuff. And they were talking about,
did they throw a whole pizza in the trash in front of you?
They did not. No. But what they did do is they were talking about like things that were like good and bad to eat. And so they were talking about like dried mango is like a really good, treat, because again, it's just kind of that quick hit of sugar. That you basically just need like quick digestible kind of sugar and carbs during games, but you need to like pre and post with like protein and fats and extra fluid and everything. So like chocolate milk is like a really good recovery, which is always seems a bit counterintuitive to me, but it's got all sorts of things. But then they like called out specifically, one of the examples they gave of like a bad thing to like eat during games was cheese. And I had like specifically bought cheese strings to like eat in between. And I was like, oh, I feel very shamed for my like snack choice that I brought to try. So then I like didn't bring them to the next few days of triads and I just had cheese strings in my fridge for a long time after that. I was just eating randomly. I felt like I was back in elementary school, just like eating cheese strings, but because I felt shamed, so I couldn't bring them with me.
I definitely understand, like, maybe you feel shame, but like I would have just been eating cheese string at home. It's interesting you call them cheese string. We call them string cheese here. That's a weird flip. An unnecessary, I think, flip on that one.
I mean, it's, you know, grade seven, seventh grade all over again.
Yeah,
right? We flip.
Yeah. Why do we do these things? So
we live in two different countries, Kevin.
I meant me. I guess we as a two countries. It seems unnecessary. I most of the time I'm just gonna blame America. We usually make the wrong choice. So, I will say the candy thing though did crack me up. Specifically, two parts of this intro to the subplot. One, Maya having this weird sports betting experience because of her dad, who just, I guess, did it in the shed away from the mom to keep it a secret and would be yelling. So she has a lot of knowledge on sports betting that they end up using to their advantage to convince the other kids to bet against the coaches. So that way they would not have to make the payout because obviously the coaches will win and then they're set, right? The other part of this though that I adore, we said that we wanted this to happen, and I think it's there that Maya is just dating someone different every episode.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Or she talks about her boyfriend in dorm C, and Nick's like, oh, I thought your boyfriend was in dorm B, and Maya says that didn't work out, but they're still friends. And Nick's like, oh, like
he's right.
Very happy that they've managed to, you know, stay friends despite their breakup.
Yes, which is that foreshadowing? Because like it might be with what we know happens in episode four.
Maybe. I think it's the fact that like Maya has the good sense to date outside the friend group. So, you know, she can do whatever she wants and it doesn't impact the kids, as they say.
I guess that's true. I have a comment about this later, but we'll get to it. So we have that going on. But of course, once the betting is closed, once they've gotten finished, they make the fatal flaw that any dealer and bookie knows, which is you don't go into your own stash, right? Like you don't touch your own merch. But they did. They decide that they're just gonna have one. And we know, I think probably from experience of a lot of us, like that's never the case. It's a slippery slope. You start eating one, they eat most of the stash. For a hot second, Nick catches them afterwards, and it looked like they ate the whole stash, which I would have been like, God damn, that's a lot of candy and sugar.
Yeah, this is like, it's a bit of a TV trope, of like the kids absolutely lose their mind over candy and have no self-control and eat the whole thing. It's a bit wild because that is just so much candy, but yeah, so they tend to eat the whole thing. My favorite about all of this though is Coob and the body wash when the girl drops off the thing and he like smells it and he's like, we accept body wash. And then later he talks about how they can't run away because he smells like watermelon and they'll find him.
Which, by the way, just got to say, fan. I love a good body wash set. I also a big fan of watermelon. Coop really hit me and him like Venn diagrammed on that one. That was a perfect choice of scent. It is a trope, but I also feel like, oh my God, like I have been there with the sad days of just like, I'm just going to open this bag of chips and I'm just going to have a couple. And literally by the end of the day, I've eaten the entire bag and it's just like, oh, what have I done? Like it is that slippery slope. They didn't eat the candy corn. We've discussed candy corn before, so we don't have to go into it, but they decided not to touch that.
Yeah, they only have the candy corn left. Sam starts eating it and he's like, I don't even want it. Although I also wanted to shout out earlier where Maya says, I bet we're all thinking the same thing. And Coop says, let's fill a baby pool with the Skittles and go for the swimmable lifetime.
Yes. And Sam even asks, like, are you eating the Skittles or are you?
He's like, I didn't think about it.
Yeah, just enjoy the ride, man. It's just A+. I mean, again, the comedy of these kids is so good. Also, in this moment, when Nick catches them, Maya's like reassuring them and is just like, oh, it's fine because we don't ever have to pay it back. The coaches or the kids being the coaches, it's like it's like the U.S. being the Soviets. And Coop points out the U.S. did beat the Soviets, famously.
It's like such a wild example for her to like pull from. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, why would that be the thing that you like never expect to happen? Like, it felt backwards to me, right? It feels like young Americans would be more into the, like, obviously the US wins everything, right? And it was like, I was expecting...
Even I knew that one.
Yeah. So I had this, like, weird, I was like, wait, why would that be the example that you would give of this thing where, like, the US ultimately triumphs over, like, I was like, yeah, wouldn't that be the assumed outcome for you?
I don't know. What I do love is her response after they pointed out is just, okay, another example where that didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that, right? Like, they could have done a whole thing of just, like, listing. And part of me felt like, was that, like, placeholder in the script where someone just, like, added another example where that didn't happen? And then someone was just like, this is just the line. Let's just do that, which I thought was great.
I thought it was really good. You would think it would be something about, like, oh, that'd be like Canada beating the US at the 2010 Winter Olympics or something like that. It's like, oh wait, that did happen.
Okay, see, didn't know about that. We don't make movies about that one.
No, you don't. But yeah, we won gold on home turf. The Olympics were in Vancouver. We won. The streets of Vancouver were very wild that night, but no rioting, because we only save that for when we lose.
I have been in the city during a celebratory championship match, and oh boy, it gets intense. I'm not even going to criticize. I was also in the streets causing a ruckus. We had a good time. The cleanup crew did not, and I apologize greatly. However,
although, is this when I bring up? So, is Canada the big bad of this show? You and Troy sort of talked about it last episode, where, like, ultimately, it seems like the winning team of tournament play is going to face off against Canada.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they might be. We haven't even introduced to them, though. That's the hard part. And I will say, I think my big criticism of where we are in season two is that I kind of wish, as much as I enjoyed episode two, I kind of wish episode two didn't happen. And this was episode two, because I felt like they really should have gone to, like, the draft and stuff slightly earlier, right? Just a little bit earlier, because I feel like the draft really set the, this is what this season is mostly about, and then we'll get there at the end when we fight Canada.
Yeah, it's funky because, like, it seems like the timing of it is, they say the draft happens at, like, the midway point of the summer, and then the tournament plays the second half, and, like, obviously they could set that up however, so it feels like I had a moment where I was like, oh, we're already halfway through the summer, that's kind of weird, but it was also like, yeah, okay, I'm glad we've got here, this is going to be where the real juice of the story is. So I feel like maybe they should have shifted that up where it's like, oh yeah, we draft after the first month or something, you know, and sort of trying to play with that timeline so that they could have got there realistically faster, maybe. But
they could have done the, like, draft, and then you have, like, training, and then you have tournament, right? Like, they could have gone there, I think, in a different way.
They can set up this camp however they want. They write the script. Yeah,
exactly. They write the script. All right, so let's get into the coach classic actual play here. My big question, by the way, I wrote this down in all caps, because as they had this, like, the coach team, I didn't realize it was all the coaches at the camp at first. I thought they invited people, which my response was like, why didn't invite Coach T? Would have been a great cameo moment. Obviously, now I know that it's all coaches that are there. But it was such a second where I was just like, oh, this is where you could have had Coach T show up. And I would have adored him on the ice, just wrecking these children, like, gleefully.
Yeah, I am a bit sad that it does sort of feel like we're just not going to get Coach T this season, which to
again,
me
unless
is like kind
coaches
of
a Canada team.
Maybe that would be a bit weird randomly as a guy from Minnesota, but yeah, I am.
Hey man, let me tell you about the show called Ted Lasso about American.
Also, this is very much an aside. I think I was on a plane with Stewart from Letterkenny the other day.
Oh my god, what?
I like watched him like get on the plane and I was like, I think that's who that is. So, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and that was you on the plane from New York to Vancouver, let me know, because that was cool.
I mean, not out of the realm of possibility, but
yeah,
they're just like us celebrities. I do love. Okay, so I don't know who this announcer is, because obviously.
Yeah, so I just Googled it. So he's an American television sportscaster and radio host. He's worked for the NFL Network. It seems like, you know, ESPN, SportsCenter. This is like an actual sports personality. You know, it's not one that I know because I listen to Canadian hockey, and we have our own kind of very recognizable voices, but I did love just how over this whole, I think he was just like very confused as to why he was there this whole time.
What am I doing here? And he's like ripping into the coaches about like, I hope you feel proud of yourselves.
He goes, I've got to be honest, I don't know what I'm doing here, but they're paying me a boatload of cash, so let's do this thing. Sienna will coach Plastic, and the coaches are heavily favored because they're adults, but you can't count the kids team out. And then later he talks about, and that's the end of the second period. The coaches must be very proud of themselves beating children 12-4.
It's fantastic. This one line he says where he's just like, who am I talking to? Is this game even being broadcast anywhere? Incredible. Another like literal laugh out loud moment. Like I even wrote this on the humor in this episode is killing me. It's perfection. And then, so yeah, they're obviously trouncing the kids 12-4. Our trio of Coop, Sam, and Maya are extremely happy about this because its odds are in their favor. Throughout all of this, Cole keeps trying to set up Jace to score, even against his own team.
And then he's like blocking his own teammates so that Jace can score.
And Jace is not doing well because, again, the pressure of it all and also just, like, kind of shoving it to his dad. And, like, it's bonkers to me. This is a conflict of interest of the highest order. To the point that he also then, Cole changes sides and decides to join the kids' team. And once this happens, the kids' team catch up to the coaches.
Yeah.
Which really, really makes me question the skill level of the rest of the coaches.
Agree, right? Like, one guy changes and that's enough to, like, again, like, hockey is one of those sports where, like, theoretically, you can do it all yourself, right? Like, I play a sport where you literally, like, can't move once you have the thing. And so you have to pass it to somebody else. It is literally impossible to score by yourself. But in hockey, like, theoretically, you could, you know, dance around everybody. But it does just seem a bit wild that five, like, NHL level theoretically players on the other team can't beat this like one guy and a bunch of kids who could not score before.
It's psychotic. Listen, Guy Germain scores an F ton of points for the Ducks, but if he went to the other side, it doesn't mean that the other side's going to catch up very quickly, because the Ducks also have a bunch of other people who do work. Like, he does a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but still.
Yeah. Oh, man. Couple shout-outs in this whole sequence that I loved. Alex apologizing to Evan for not backing off and saying it's like watching a monkey on a tricycle. It's like, how does he do that? Which I thought was just like the perfect description of parenting.
Yeah.
You start as this little helpless thing and then you grow up and it's like, wait, how are you doing that thing?
Yeah. How is this monkey riding this tricycle?
Yeah. And then Marty introducing Nick to the sports broadcaster dude, and Nick can't even speak, and he's like, also a voice personality, an up-and-comer of the audio arts, is how she describes Nick. And he's like,
vocal rest. You gotta keep your weapon sharp.
Yeah, so there's like some very cute moments.
Absolutely. And so at the end, though, Coach Cole, in his aggression, actually injures one of the other players, not a child, although emotionally injured probably for a lot of these kids. But he takes down one of the coaches to the point that they need medical help, which calls the game, ending the game in a tie.
Which is a bit wild because we've seen injuries happen before on like this show, this franchise, and like you stop the clock. The guy gets help, and then you slip in somebody else, and you keep playing. But whatever, fine. It ended. This is like a weird, like, exhibition game. They're like, okay, this got too serious, and they were saying it was Smash Mouth hockey. Like, you can't tell me no one's been injured in this game before.
Yeah, people got smashed in the mouth, right? Like that happened. We saw the video footage. But the game gets called. It's a very somber moment for everyone else because of the injury on the field, so to speak. I guess on the ice.
Yeah,
but Coop, Maya, and Sam ecstatic. They're just like, that's it, you know. It well, not Maya. They're just like, oh, it's a tie. That means, you know, no payouts. And Maya's just like, idiot. Like, that means that we have to return all of the candy. It means we net it out. So that means we have to return everything. And Coop responds, "That's a conundrum."
Yeah, I know. Coop has so many good lines in this episode especially, but I think in the next couple, he's just got these like little one-liners that I find very funny. And yeah, I made a note of that one too.
It's really great. So quickly hitting this part, the game wraps. Now, we have this moment where Sophie approaches Jace and they start having a conversation. And it ends up the two of them have a lot in common. Sophie points out, and I didn't mention this earlier because I wanted to save it here, when everyone else got candy in their care packages, she got a PSAT book. And I like laughed it off as like, oh, that's very funny because her parents are, you know, obviously we know a lot of pressure. I know they're brown, so they just continuously will send you shit like this. Like, that's their care package. Keep your mind sharp. Do good on your tests. You got to get into a good school. Anyway, just all that stuff. But this is a moment of bonding for them because they have both experienced what that pressure is like and what it could do to them. I have to say, I mean, maybe it's me because I'm just having too much fun and I'm just like, I'm there for the ride. I'm just swimming in the Skittles pool. I actually did not make that connection early on in the episode, like when she got the PSAT book. I think they set it up well. And if you know the characters, you probably knew this is where it's headed. I did not. So I was like, oh, this is actually really interesting.
I feel like I did because earlier in their conversation, Jace is all like, you don't know what this is like. And Sophie's kind of like, well, and he like keeps interrupting her so that she like can't say anything. But I feel like I did see this coming because he's like, you have no idea what dealing with all this pressure. And Sophie's like, actually. So I feel like I did see it coming, but it was still this cute moment. And it was funny because like Evan's watching and being all weird about it. And I was like,
yeah.
They can just be friends.
They can just be friends.
She's just being supportive. Like, you and Sophie have your own issues that you have to deal with, but like Jace isn't necessarily
Jace is not part of the problem here.
Like, no, you have your own stuff going on.
Yeah, and this was like a moment I even wrote down. Evan, chill. Like, yeah. this is not the right mentality to have. Like, you know, guys and girls can be friends. Like, this type of jealousy is not good. It's toxic masculinity style. And I think we need to be better about it, but I think the show does a good job of addressing this because it's not Jace and all that stuff that ultimately leads to the issues, which we're about to get into very shortly, but let's wrap up this one first, right? The two main things that happen at the end here is Maya, Sam, and Coop are locked the doors to the room. The other kids are banging at the door because they need candy, and Nick comes in like the hero he is, bringing the giant box that his mom sent him, and
which is apparently enough to pay back every other kid in this camp, which is a bit wild. Also, this is where Coop makes the joke about Costa Rica that I thought was very strange. I was like, who is this joke for? It's like,
what was the joke exactly?
He says something about, we'll take the RV and drive south. And he says, yeah, I have a cousin in Costa Rica. They're like, they have amazing infrastructure or something like that. It was like some crack at like Costa Rican infrastructure that I was like, I don't know what this joke is for, but it seems kind of in poor taste.
Yeah. Or maybe I don't know a lot about Costa Rica. Maybe they actually do have great infrastructure and is better than the US, and the real crack is us, because well boy, don't we have not good infrastructure.
Yeah, maybe that is what the joke is. I don't know. People that have been there, let us know. But it certainly seemed like it was maybe meant to be ironic, and I was like, I don't know why this is the dig you decide to make right now.
So one thing I wanted to call out as well in the scene is that, and I said I'd circle back to this, because when Nick comes in, Maya is very ecstatic. She puts her hands on his shoulder in a very delightful way. And for a moment, I was like, am I shipping Maya and Nick? And part of me kind of is. Like, it wasn't there, but part, like, when Nick was talking about, like, he's just like, aw, that they, you know, dated, broke up, and remained friends, I thought was great. Like, I'm like, am I shipping these two?
And then in the previous one, Nick goes missing and Maya's freaking out and they're like, oh, we didn't know you were so close, whatever. Exactly. Yeah, interesting.
I think it was like, it's a small part of me that feels like, ooh, maybe. And like, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
I think I would need a bit more buildup.
Yeah. I mean, she needs to go through this season dating everyone else in the area. Because like, that's what we want, a different person each episode. Yeah. And then you end with Nick and that'd be very fun.
That would be good. And then, we get Cole talking to the coaches saying draft is in 2 days. They're down a coach. Alex basically is like, I told you so, which I was like, okay, Alex, calm down.
Now's not the time.
Yeah. And she goes, I know hockey. I coached my team to the state finals last year, but we did it the right way. And I was like, okay, someone is very high on their own supply here. But Cole says he's tired of hearing everything that's wrong with the place. So he makes her a coach so that she can basically put her money where her mouth is. And I think, you know what? Yeah, Alex, put up or shut up.
Yeah, honestly, like, love that, right? Like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm with that. Just be like, you have been just telling us off the whole time. You're here saying about how you're so great as a coach and you led the Ducks to victory. Fine. Like, congratulations. You've been promoted. You are now a coach. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, it's funny. We'll get to it when she's talking about her belief and her philosophy as a coach. But it is kind of like, okay, how much of that success, though, was Coach Bombay? Like, I don't know that you should be taking all of the credit for the success the Ducks had last year.
Agreed. Like, I think he lent a big hand in actually, like, you know, teaching them hockey, which was something she's unfamiliar with.
Yeah, you know, Alex did a good job of being like, hey, we believe in you. You're all great and special snowflakes. But, like, also the actual gaining skill playing in hockey thing was very much not her doing.
Feels vital.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
But yeah, then that takes us over into episode 4, which is draft day. It is the day that it all goes down. Now, this episode starts off also with the recap, which I was like, oh, right, because I forgot that this was the setup, right? That the coaches are going to pick their teams and then they go against each other tournament style. And then we'll end up fighting Canada in a fist fight, one would assume, and not a hockey match. But I was like, right. And like, this is that moment too, where I was like, oh, I kind of wish they had bumped this up slightly more. Right. Cause and we talked about that already, but draft is going down. All the coaches' names are in this little, you know, like raffle style thing, one by one coming out. The second Coach Cole was won, I was like, okay, so this is rigged, right? Like, that was my immediate thought. Did you also have that feeling?
I didn't know how it could be rigged, so I didn't think it was, but it did just feel very... As soon as Coach Cole was first, I was like, oh, Alex is going to be last. Like, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Same. And I thought it was rigged for that reason. I don't know how you could rig it, but I thought it was.
Yeah. This is also the other joke that I thought was really weird. Where Marnie's talking to Alex and she's like, oh yeah, you were driving out west like a little settler. And I was like, we don't love that. That's a weird comparison.
Don't love that, yeah. but I do also like, it's like, oh, you think I have a shot? No, you're going to get destroyed.
Yeah, you're going to be crushed. It'll be hard to watch. It was like, it was a good line.
Yeah, Marnie A+ all the way through here. So we get the draft order. Alex is at the bottom of the draft. Coach Cole is number one. We'll see what's going to be going on there because, I mean, we could just say now, right? Like, Nick has a great idea of basically hustling the other coaches to move Alex up the line.
I love this bit. Get her. I thought it was so good.
Same. The entire plot here of these two, I thought was great from start to finish. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as it goes on. But that's like plot one, right? Plot two is that... Sophie and Evan, as we mentioned, are having issues. We have this moment where Maya is talking to Sophie about the relationship and the boys are doing the same with Evan and they're like doing the classic Sorkin walk and talk. And it's a great conversation that's happening. They're addressing the issues. Evan does bring off like what's up with her and Jace, which is something you're allowed to think but not be a like psycho about it. I have to say, I do really love that Coob offers him a hug and he was just like, yeah, but not in the hallway, which, okay, sure. But like, that's actually such a positive, like male friendship thing that I think you don't get, especially in like kid shows, that I thought was great. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was really cute. There were a couple things in this sequence where, first of all, Evan talks to his mom and is like, please don't pick me for your team. And then she talks to Coach Cole. And he's like, yeah, why does my son want to be on your team so bad? And he's like, oh, he's got good instincts. Great athletes want to win. And she's like, where'd you learn that? And he goes, the NHL. And he's like, you know what? Fair point. Yeah.
Yeah, fair point. And I think she even had that like, oh, yeah, good point. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then I also love this exchange between Jace and Sophie where Jace is like, oh yeah, my dad's going to pick me. It'll be a summer from hell. And she's like, well, maybe he won't. You do kind of suck right now.
It's very true.
Yeah. Well played, Sophie. It's true.
Yeah. Which is sort of setting up where I think I knew this, where this episode was going to go. Like I caught the motion of this episode pretty quick, but there's still like great stuff that happens all the way through, I think. Right. Like even knowing where it's going to go, it's still such an enjoyable ride, like the Skittle spool.
Yep.
The walk and talk basically ends with Evan and Sophie coming into like the two groups run into each other. The rest of them leave and Evan and Sophie talk. Evan makes this comment though where he starts to say like, oh, I'm trying. And she's like, I know. But like for me, I'm like, are you though? I definitely called Evan out into like, are you trying moment? Because I don't know. I don't think he's really trying hard enough.
Yeah, and this interaction was this sort of weird, like, yeah, we've got to stay together for the kids thing. I was like, oh, this is not gonna go well. This seems very, and like the relationship isn't that old. It feels like they very quickly sort of just reverted back to friendship, and even friends that like aren't getting along that well right now. And so yeah, I was like, oh, I feel like the writing on the walls is here for this group.
But they're also like teens, young teens, right? A short relationship feels like an eternal relationship. I mean, Bella was ready to die for Edward within like a week.
Oh, gosh. So yeah, that's true.
Emotions run high when you are a vampire and also a teenager.
Yeah, it's true. I also wanted to shout out Nick is talking to Alex after she gets the last draft pick. And I just really love this line. And it's the start of this sort of Nick-Alex storyline in this thing. Where Alex goes, I really wanted to stick it to that guy. And now I think he's going to stick it to me. And that's much less satisfying. And Nick goes, yes. No way. You gave me my chance last season to play hockey. You rescued me from a mid-level hotel bar. You discreetly told me not to wear velour. You're not going down. Not on my watch. And I just like, it was this very cute start to this interaction. And I loved the whole storyline. And this like initial moment was very sweet.
100%. Nick continues to be like, as characters go, like my MVP, right? Like he's the, like, we talked about like who's who, and we have Evan a bit as Charlie. I think that's changing here in this season. I think Nick is doing a great job being the heart of this team right now and being there in support and getting, you know, bailing the team out several times. And yeah, that's the kickstart of this. And like the first person that they go with, the seventh pick, was Jackie, the fitness trainer. And I love this moment because the whole thing is she's mad that it was going to be that she has to work on a Thursday because she was going to go into town basically that night to like try to pick someone up and everything, like to meet people. She has a hard time.
Nick
and
knows so all this because he has a face that people like to dump emotional baggage on. It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he'd make a good bartender. So like, you know, possible future there, open a bar. But he also tells her all this. So I love that when this goes down, they make this implication like, oh, Alex will cover her shift. And they're just like, oh, and you can go out there and find a good husband, you know, and Nick like shows the ring or whatever. And she ends up trading with them. But her response that was basically just like, I just want to get laid, relax on this husband thing.
I'm really just looking to hook up, but I see your point. Yes. It's the line.
Like,
it's
so good.
Yeah,
I appreciate that greatly because, like, part of me was just like, let's not box into that type of stuff. So I'm glad that again, the show has moments that are bizarrely, like, progressive for kids, right? Like, because we talked about how kids will probably be watching this, but the idea of, like, again, guys hugging when the time becomes necessary or, like, it's not always just to go get married. Like, they obviously didn't say, like, she gonna go get some, but, like, I think like there's interesting stuff there of implication that makes it a little more not so I think old fashioned in its views, which is so easy to do for a kid's show. So another reason I appreciate what they do here.
I also have to shout out this line from Coach Chuck where he's talking about they're trying to offer him the RV for a chance to get away.
Yes.
And he asks, how's the water pressure? I like a punishing shower.
Yeah, listen, I'm not gonna lie, I also had a comment on that because I am constantly concerned about water pressure. I also like a punishing shower. I don't need to get like welts on myself here, right? Like, but I need good water pressure in the shower. I cannot deal with like crappy water pressure. My mom in her current home had like really crappy water pressure, and I didn't like it, and I was just like, listen, I love visiting, but for multiple reasons, including this bathroom situation. I should probably just get Airbnb or hotel when I visit. But like, she ended up
fix her shower.
We did, and we got
it. Water pressure, like an adjustable thing. Yes, I don't even know how this works, but yeah,
you can adjust it. There's also different shower heads you could use. I know, look, someone's gonna come after me about how like heavy shower pressure is bad for the environment. I get it. I'm sorry, but
is that true?
Because it uses like more water, right? Like lesser shower pressure is lesser water coming out. Anyway, so I agree on the water pressure front. Like, it's important, and in an RV especially, you got to get some good water pressure in there. Meanwhile, while they're going through and doing all their wheeling and dealing and trading, right, including Alex having to get or go on a lunch date specifically.
A late lunch.
With one of the coaches, which was such a weird conversation because part of me is just like, is this guy a serial killer? Like, he was just like, you're very interesting. I wish to understand and analyze you. And I'm like,
I thought he wanted to like put her through his battery of tests or something. And then it was like, oh no, he just wants a date. He's kind of
It's weird. I don't know where it's going here, and I'm a little worried for Alex. But
I don't think it's going anywhere, to be honest.
Yeah,
this is the last we will see.
They probably won't bring this up again. Meanwhile, while all this is happening, the other plot line is in full swing as Evan is going to sneak out in the middle of the night to go hang out with Sophie. He's doing the classic like make someone look like they're in the bed with a soccer ball or a volleyball and some pillows and stuff to like have his general shape. He's very nervous about this. He's very concerned, but Sam basically assures him like, I sneak out every night and it's totally fine. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he says, I'm rarely here between 1 and 3 a.m.
Yeah.
They ask him what he does. And he said, that's between me and the night.
Another the best line in this episode. It was
so good. Especially Sam's like how he responds. Again, the delivery is always so key in jokes. And like he just like dead faces it in a way that really, really delighted me. Another moment of laugh out loud for me.
Yeah, and it's just like immediately like, okay, someone stick a GoPro on this kid because I want to know what he gets up to in the middle of the night.
It's very curious. Is he Batman? A big question.
It certainly seems like he is some sort of like hockey sports camp vigilante.
Oh man, he's Casey Jones. This is the same universe as Ninja Turtles. The Mighty Ducks and Ninja Turtles crossing over. It's finally happening.
There we go. And like, We've sort of skipped over this whole like Lawrence helping Nick thing because he's the top of the leaderboard serving the bottom of the leaderboard. It's like it's pretty inconsequential, but yeah, that's also a thing that's happening during all of this, I guess.
Yeah, then this is, I guess, good to bring up because Lawrence, our Fort Lauderdale boy, has been the number one leaderboard pretty much nonstop. Because Nick is at the bottom, there is a tradition that they inverse it where the number one serves the last place. Nick is into that. He thinks it's interesting and you know, very unique and progressive because also he's getting served. So he has Lawrence do a few things for him, pour his drink, get him his, what was it? Get him something.
He wanted
in the
a bendy straw, but he
bendy
didn't,
straw.
Didn't think they
didn't
had
have
those.
That. Yeah. Yeah. He delivers him like a blanket later or something. There's like
he
a whole sequence.
His blanket and Pucky the pillow that he.
Yes. Pucky, of
and
course.
And then sort of intimidate Sam for Nick as well.
Yep. There's a lot of good stuff with that. And I think the payoff for there comes at the end in a very interesting way. But meanwhile, though, this is the stuff, right? Like Evan and Sophie sneak out. They're having shenanigans, which I think is very fun. They almost get caught. But Evan freaks out. He's just like, this is so dangerous. You know, what are we doing? We're going to get in trouble. And his reason for it is because he's only thinking about the draft. He admits, like, that's what's on his mind. Sophie even questions him, like, not me, not the fun we're having, or, like, our time together. No, the draft is what it's about for him. And here's where it's interesting to me, right? There is a level of, is Evan being, like, inconsiderate of Sophie? For sure. But, like, he calls out, like, you're not even trying, or you could be better. And I feel like this is almost, like, a no assholes here situation. Right? Like, I think both of them are kind of, their priorities are just different. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, on both ends, like, to an extent, yes, I think Evan is being a little more inconsiderate than she is. But I feel like it's just their priorities are different right now. So I it's hard to just be like, oh, in this particular case, Evan, you're being a dick. Like if he was all in on like, you're hanging out with Chase, what's the deal with that? Right. Like that's his reasoning. It would suck. And I'm so glad that that's not it. It really is just like they're on different paths, as I said later. And I kind of really love that this is the way this is shaking out. I thought that was really, I think, a mature way of telling the story.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, as a rule follower myself, I feel for Evan when he's all like, we can't be doing this. This is, we're going to get in trouble. And, you know, he is trying to, he sees this as a chance for big things for him. He's taking this very seriously. And draft day is a big day. So I get why he's like, okay, like doing this now is maybe not ideal. And so I get what he's saying is he wants to be able to do this like final push, get himself as high as he can on the rankings to get drafted onto hopefully Coach Cole's team and get the most out of this and, you know, potentially make this game at the end of the summer. I think that it makes sense that that's where his mind is at. And it kind of sucks that that is really clashing with where Sophie is at, because it's not just that Sophie isn't as intense at him. I think she's actively sort of like rebelling against this attitude of this camp. And so that's where some of the problem comes in. But I did think it's interesting. He points out, he's like, I saw you working on your PSAT prep book. Like Evan doesn't totally buy this attitude from Sophie. And it does sort of seem like she's kind of gone so far in the other direction that there is potentially some middle ground there where she can figure out what is it that she does care about? What is it that she does want to? She's sort of become a bit nihilistic about all of it. And I don't think that's really her either. I think she's sort of rebelling and then trying to find her place. And so while she's going through kind of this awkward time, it's brushing up against Evan, who hasn't really had a thing he's all that passionate about other than hockey for a very, you know, and this is him seeing this as this big chance and him wanting to put in a ton of effort into this. And so, yeah, I feel for both of them. I think that it's shitty, you know, if they were older adults and they could sort of be able to communicate some of this of like, hey, we can like have different priorities at this time and still like get along and be supportive of each other. But, you know, they're teenagers. And so for them, it's just like, okay, we're different. We have different goals right now. And that's the problem. Yeah. So we can't be together.
Still communicating and getting through their issues better than older people that we know who travel through space and time in our other podcasts, Mickey and Rose looking at you. check out Who A to find out what the hell I'm talking about. But this whole thing to what you're saying, right? Like you have the opportunity to just keep practicing up until the last moment, up until 8 p.m. basically when the draft is going to hit. And like Evan is on the ice. He hoped Sophie was going to be there. She didn't show up. And so when they do come down to draft day finally, we already had situations where Maya doesn't want them to break up and neither do the others because it leads to tension in friend groups. It is a good example of like dating friends is a risk. As a person who literally married someone who was their friend, we knew the risks and we talk a lot about it for a long time. Robin had said before, if we had broken up, she would have moved back to Indiana. Like she would not have been able to face anything. But thankfully it all worked out. But yeah, it's a risk, right? And Maya especially is just like, I don't want to have two Christmases like my cousins do because, you know, and as a person, as a child of divorce, it can be shitty. But we see this tension come to light. They show up on draft day and Evan and Sophie are kind of cold to each other, despite how great everyone is dressed. Everyone had to dress up for this occasion and they are all dressed to the nines. Everyone's looking real good.
Cole thanks them all for showering, which I thought was very funny because teenagers are gross. It's good.
Yeah. And a lot of them were practicing all day. So good to shower before this moment. And as a last ditch, right? Like Alex has worked her way up to number two. She plays some head games with Cole to try and get his number one spot. And I have to say, I thought that was a solid approach and her head games weren't entirely wrong because the moment his name did come up first, the viewer also thought it was rigged. So her being just like, it's a bit shady. Like, what is this? You're going to hold up your name. The first person who gets the first pick is usually like at the benefit. Like a lot of her stuff made sense because even as a viewer, I was like, yeah, something's fishy here, you know, like, and there wasn't, but you think that.
Yeah. And I thought the, even the more, powerful part of her argument is it's like, okay, so you're going to win all of this. And people are going to be like, well, yeah, obviously. But like, if you get the second pick and you still mm-hmm. win, it's all the more powerful. So if you really believe right. in yourself and your ability to coach this team to success, like, do you even need the first pick? I don't know. So yeah, I thought it was very smart of her to be like, come on, give it up to, you know, it's like, especially because like the quality of, you know, you can't tell me that AJ Lawrence, number one draft pick, is like that much better than like the second kid. Your team is still going to be good if you are the second pick overall. It's fine. And then, yeah, he gets to like have that bit of extra shine on his ultimate victory because he got the second pick instead of the first.
There's a weird thing here. So this is what I was going to bring up about like all this goes down, right? And Alex, with her first pick, picks Nick, the last place person she picks as her first pick. And AJ Lawrence ends up being a second pick. And he is like really upset about this. Now, I'm not a sports person, but I do know this is like an oddly big deal. This happens a lot in professional football and stuff. And it's like a whole thing with like college pros and like college picks, right? Like when you get called up. So I know it's a big deal there. I don't know how well it translates to this summer camp situation, but I do know like a lot of like athletes have this thing in their mind, right? Like, there's a level of if this is going to affect your pick for colleges, like, sure, it could be a big difference between the first pick and the second because it can determine like which school you could end up going to. But that feels like not the case here.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I thought it was neat that, you know, they all get dressed up and everything because like NHL draft day. Yeah. They're all like in suits mm-hmm. and everything when they do get drafted. So that was kind of neat that they are sort of trying to mimic the real
yeah.
NHL draft here. But yeah, the difference between like the first pick and the second pick, I don't know that it's like that big of a difference in this camp. But I did think he's got this line where he's like, second round draft pick, this is adversity. Now I have a chip on my shoulder. He's like, yes. Not happy about it. I was like, okay, buddy, if this is the biggest adversity you've ever faced, we might need to have a talk.
The white guy from Fort Lauderdale? Yeah, it's probably all.
Yeah. The other line I really wanted to shout out, he talks about, Coach Cole talks about when he got drafted. This reminds him of his own time getting called up to the pros, getting drafted for the Buffalo Sabres. And he says, it was one of the most exciting moments of my life. And then I spent my first winter in Buffalo.
Yeah, is that how Canada is? You're just like, yes, Canada. And then you're like, oh, it's cold.
I mean, yeah, winter is cold. I've never been to Buffalo. I imagine it's also very cold. It is
yes.
pretty far north, but
I mean, it's close to Canada.
Yeah. And then we get this really sweet moment, right? Where Alex has, she did all of this hustle to get the first pick and she picks Nick, who is in dead yeah. last in the leaderboard. And, you know, Nick is asking her like, why did you do that? You didn't. And I thought, I love this part where he's like, you didn't need the number one pick to get me. Like, you could have been last and Nick still would have been available for her to pick first. And she said, I did. You are number one in more ways than that dumb board could ever track. And I needed everybody to know it. He says, well, as your assistant GM, that was a terrible pick, but as your number one pick, thank you so much. She says, you're welcome. Now let's get the rest of you guys. Cole says, well, that was sweet. Now moving back to the hockey portion of the evening.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like that whole thing I thought was really great. I did love that line of just like, as your assistant GM, that was a terrible pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, what progresses is that everyone chooses their team, right? Like person by person. Yep. I will say like, you go through and you end up like, look, I'll just say like, I knew going in as I kind of hinted at, I knew Alex was going to pick the Ducks. There was no way that wasn't going to happen. And a big part of me, once Evan also said like, don't pick me, I knew she was going to end up with Jace. It just obviously yeah. made sense. The way it all shook out though, I really loved the whole thing with her and Nick. I thought was great. The conversation they had, her reasoning is good. Obviously, I part of me is also with Cole, though, where it's just like, you're making a mockery of this whole institution. But the thing I do really, really like, and I kind of mentioned this at the top of the podcast, I love that moment where for his second pick, Cole was pointing towards Jace. He was ready to pick his kid. And the way that like Jace shook his head like, no. And props to Josh Duhamel. I think his silent acting in that moment was so good. The mm-hmm. amount of emotions you saw go through him in that like brief moment made me so endeared to Cole in a way that yeah. like was, I think, unbelievable in like, in just a single moment.
And so I really like that dad moment, right? Where like he's giving up the chance to like have his own son on his team and be able to kind of oversee that himself, and giving it up to one of these other coaches to pick his son, and like kind of trusting what his son wants in that moment, I thought was a kind of a sign of growth from him. And it was very endearing to this like coach cool idea. And then he ends up picking Evan, who like so desperately wants to be on his team as well. Yeah. This is the moment where I think Coach Cool stops being kind of the villain, quote unquote, of this season. Agreed. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really like how all of that played out. Right. I thought that was really great.
And then the line I loved most was Sophie's, where, you know, she's coming to the end and she goes, pick Jace, he's one of us.
Yes.
I thought that was great.
Right. Like that don't bothers. Like he's part of that heart of what they were. All this goes through. And like to your point of Cole, like I think, you know, after it was all done, he even tells him good luck, kid, which I thought was really, really nice. Mm-hmm. It's all done. And then they reveal their team names. And I'm just going to go through the team names here. We've got Dominate.
God.
Focus, perseverance, hustle, endurance, accountability, intention. Obviously, there's a theme here. And part of me understands what they're trying to do as a summer camp for sports for kids.
Yeah.
But then Alex comes out with, and we're the Mighty Ducks. And she names the team the Ducks. Okay, listen. I get what she was trying to do. I understand what she was trying to do. But like, she could have stuck with the theme a little bit and named them like Fun Times or something.
I thought they were going to be Team Heart, to be honest. I was I was convinced this is the Captain Planet moment of like, and also Heart. Like that Heart was totally where I thought it was going.
Like same. And I thought that would have been so much better. You could have saved the Ducks moment for when they go down against, or when they go against Canada, they pull out the Ducks.
Yeah. This is the moment where, you know, in the movie they pull out. It's like, by the way, we also have Mighty Ducks jerseys that you can all wear now. Like, come on, we could have got that classic moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I thought that's where they were going with
especially
it.
Especially because she's a team full of kids, only four of whom are former Ducks. Most of them are not. Because
they picked other people. We have not seen who these other people, we have not seen these people before, but they've been called in.
And that's why I thought we were so actually going to get this episode when Nick was talking about being good at the analytics and he's like, oh, I'll find you the kids that are like overlooked. I thought we were going to get more of that. I'm hoping that we do. I think that will be a bit of a fun beat for us to get. I know you and Troy talked about like part of the magic of D2 was that it was like these kids who each had their like special thing and we got to know them. I'm hoping we get that for these kids that have been chosen. I hope we get to like meet them and each one of them is like, oh, by the way, this one is like exceptional, can't stop, but he's got a really good slap shot kind of situation, right? I'm hoping that we're going to get that now in this next episode. But yeah, calling this team the Mighty Ducks was truly wild.
Yeah, it was insane. But I agree. I'm hoping that's where we go. We get to meet these new people, find out what their individual skills are. Because they set it up with Nick. You're 100% right. And I hope we get to see a payoff with that.
But the thing that I had to shout out about this draft that drove me a little bit wild. So Alex chooses Jace. And she's like, who do I choose? She chooses Jace. And then that moment is the end of the draft. So I was like, so was Jace the only one left and she had to take him? Or are there kids who are not getting drafted onto teams? Like,
yeah. Also, how did that work if she was the first pick?
So it's probably snake draft, right?
And on the same? Oh, I guess that makes sense. Back up.
That's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was weird to me that it was like, who do I pick? And then it's like, okay, that's the end. So like, are there kids not getting drafted at all? Which is like kind of...
That seems bonkers. I hope that seems wild, right?
So I was hoping, I was like, how do you end on the Jace? You had to stick the Jace thing earlier, I think, so that he doesn't like, oh, this is the only kid left for you to
choose. That's a good call out. I didn't think about that, but you're so right.
Yeah, this moment I was so confused. I was like, what is happening?
How can you imagine being one of these kids who are undrafted and Nick, the person in last place, got picked before you?
This is devastating to your morale. And then what are you doing for the rest of this camp if you can't compete in tournament play because you don't have a team? Like, I needed some sort of yada yada thereafter of like the rest of the draft happens and now we're done.
Yeah, we sadly don't get that. We do get this breakup moment, right? Between Evan and Sophie. They actually talk out their problems. They decide to break up because they're on different paths. Again, I really like this. They're not only on different paths, they're on different teams, of course. Like, Sophie part of the Ducks. having part of Dominate.
The worst of all the names.
Ridiculous, I know. Like, like of all the list of those attributes, Dominate is by far the one where you're like, ooh, that's not a great team to be on. Also, yeah. Accountability is a weird one.
Accountability is a really weird one too, yeah.
Yeah, Dominate and Accountability, bottom of the barrel there on the names. But they actually talk through the issues, talk about they're on different paths, they're on different teams. They break up. He tells her to keep the pizza necklace because pizza will always be their common denominator, which I thought was very sweet because he used it correctly. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really great moment, a really mature moment. And we sort of end with this, like, them looking at each other and him putting on the Dominate hat before going to talk to his new team. And again, setting up the stakes for where the rest of the season is going to go. I think we're in, like, honestly, a good spot. I do wish we got here a little bit sooner, but mm-hmm. like, I'm at this point with the show, right? Like, obviously I think there's issues that make me miss a lot of the stuff in season one, and it's mainly the characters that I miss.
Yeah.
But like, as like what they're setting up for the plot, I'm behind it. The comedy is great. I'm into the new characters. I didn't think I'd give a crap about Jace, but I think they did a good job establishing that. They've got me on Cole's side a bit. Like, they're doing so, and of course, what was her name? Marina? Marnie, A+, just all the way through now. Like, just, yeah. I'm really into what they've got going on this season at this point.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We've got sort of this parallel breakup happening, right? Where Evan and Sophie break up, but Evan has also separated himself from the Mighty Ducks. And, like, not only are they all playing together on a team, which Evan says he didn't realize was going to happen, that they would all be on the same team, but also they're under that name of the Mighty Ducks, and Evan is not with them. And Coop said, like, it's weird, like, none of us would be Mighty Ducks without you, that he was the one that recruited all of them to that team to begin with. And so Evan is trying to, like, go out on his own away from all of them. And so it's sort of this kind of dual breakup that is going on right now. And we will see how it goes. It feels like we are heading for a point where, like, the Mighty Ducks will be playing in that game against Canada, and Evan won't be able to play in that game because he's not on this team or something like that. It seems like it's going to be going down. I will be curious to see what sort of roster shenanigans happen in the future that we end up seeing, or is, like, only Evan playing in that game and everyone else is cheering him on? That also seems weird. I don't know where we're going with this.
I mean, I feel like what might happen, my prediction is that we're going to get a D2 moment with Banks, except it's going to be Evan in a way where Evan maybe wants to play, obviously, with the Ducks, or something happens, or, you know, like, they need, I don't know what it is, but in a going with the Charlie situation, Nick gives up his jersey so Evan could take a spot or something, right? Or maybe it's Sophie who does it. I feel like we could be in a situation where
Nick does the, like, I've always been more of a GM than a player.
Right,
anyway.
Exactly. Like, he's a GM, right? He's assistant GM. So I think we could be heading towards that sort of solve. But I am very curious how it's going to shake out. And I'm excited to like watch it, right? And I'm excited to see them hitting the ice more. I definitely want more of that and more of the training, especially with the new characters. But yeah, so that's episodes 3 and 4.
I feel like I'm on board. I feel like I was a bit lukewarm on this show in the first episode. And yeah, like, by the end of this episode 4, I'm excited for the rest of the season. So I think it's good.
Yeah. So one other thing we want to do that we've started with Melissa and I in episode 1 that we're going to keep continuing here is the idea of icebreakers introduced in the first episode of the show and icebreaker questions. So I'm going to throw one out for this week that's pretty, pretty fun. So the question is, describe a time you laughed so hard you thought you would cry or you did actually cry. I'm going to throw it to you first, Melissa. Do you got a good story about something that made you laugh so hard you cried or thought you might?
I mean, so you said this and I was initially like, oh, I have no idea what I would talk about. And then I thought about it for a moment. And the first thing that came to my mind, patrons of Post Show Recaps might remember the epic butt shirtless night is what we referred to, which Kevin was a part of. If you don't know the story about this, I believe there's a whole patron podcast that explains, or it's very like wrapped up in. Anyway, basically, we were up late night after a D&D game, and the great Austin Smith was like doing audio all by himself. And a few of us, you know, Kevin was there. And then we had, you know, Rich and Adam and Josiah and lots of other people that kind of came and went throughout the night. And it just turned into like this very ridiculous all-nighter that then turned into a fundraiser where it was like, oh, if we can keep this chat going all the way until the next D&D game, 30 hours later, people would donate money. We ended up raising a couple $1,000s for charity, which then like spinned off into, we did a whole 48 hour D&D marathon where we raised like $6,700 for charities. So yeah, but that our initial butt shirtless night of just us talking in the chat while Austin was like monologuing, it's probably one of the hardest I've laughed in a very long time. And it was just not what that combo of like super late night like giddiness when you get that like everything is so funny, but also just combined with like finding some funny bits that just hit really hard. So yeah, this is my like very weird for people that don't know the story but that was what I thought of for those that do know, was that first night.
What a psycho, like honestly, like it's one of those things, we were all up so late, right? Like so late for so long, we had become delirious. And it's one of those things where even trying to explain like what happened, we're like, I don't know, like you're just so high on like exhaustion or insomnia. Like it was so hilarious. Like,
because it started dying. Like you and Rich were like talking about comics or something in the voice chat, and then a bunch of us were just like in text having a totally separate conversation, and just the like dynamic of the fact that we were like all listening to you two talk but having a totally separate conversation was like the first part of it that was really funny. And then
the PSR Discord, really.
Yeah. And then I think we like all went to bed except for Austin, and then Josiah was like, Austin's talking to himself, everyone come back. And so then we all came back at like, you know, something like 2 a.m. Pacific time. It was already like 5 a.m. on the East Coast. And yeah, it was very.
Yeah. Then we just like did handoffs, right? Like that was the way it was working, is that like once people were awake, we switched whoever was going, and we had that Discord chat, like audio running for, oh my God. It was nuts. Like, as you said.
Yeah. I think the total ended up being like 36 hours because it like went through the whole next D&D game, and then even a little bit after. But yeah, at one point we were like, Rich, you have to run a D&D game. You should go get some sleep.
Amazing times. The one
turn
that
is our Discord, everybody.
You would have moments like this.
Yeah.
The one for me, I've had a couple times that made me laugh so hard. It's mostly like videos that we shared, like while shared with my friends and stuff. And certain ones I'll see on TikTok will just destroy me. But this is a one that one of my close friends shared that's so specifically my humor, and it's so effing dumb. But it's literally so there's that Nickelback song, I believe it's called Photograph, but there's that part in the music video specifically.
Canadian band, Nickelback.
Honestly, listen, I know they get a lot of shit, but there's a lot of early Nickelback I do like.
Burn It to the Ground is on my running playlist because it is a very good song for that. Yeah.
Photograph is one I will say. Not a huge fan of Photograph. No. But there's a part of the music video where Chad like does this thing where he's like, look at this photograph.
Yep.
And he holds up the photograph, right? And it's in a frame. So somebody edited this video to just this section, and instead he just says, look at this graph, and he holds up a graph, like a stupid graph, and it kind of just still frames for a bit, but he's still kind of moving, and his face is just still in that same expression, and it is so stupid, and I just saw that. I'm doing it now. I laughed so hard. I watched it again and again, and I was like weeping by the end of like my sixth time. It's so stupid. It's so beautifully stupid, and it's one of my funniest things, or my favorite things. It's amazing. Similarly, another one that people might like is a TikTok, and it's like someone walking into their kitchen because they're filming, and they hear this sound, like this like splashing sound, and they walk in, and it's a tiny puppy, and he's like pawing at his water a bowl. And like splashing the water out. And the owner was just like, what are you doing? And he turns around and sees her. And then he just like backs into the water bowl and sits down inside of it. Like, is this what I'm supposed to do? Was I doing it wrong? Is this correct? And it was just another, like, so funny, like, adorable dog moment. So yeah, those are two for me right there, I guess, that that come to mind. My God, did I cry and laugh so much. But that's it here for us this week.
On Let us Mighty know Ducks your times that you've laughed so hard you cried.
I really, yes, please send them in. Any funny jokes, any videos that made you laugh a lot, please send them to us, because I could always use one to make me laugh and cry once more. Before we head out completely, let's do some quick plugs. Melissa, what do you got going on?
Sure. Not a ton, but we are podcasting over on the Patreon feed for Who A, talking about Doctor Who. We just finished up series one, the Eccleston series, that two-part finale. It'll be dropping, probably already have dropped by the time you hear this podcast. So check that out. It's going to be a great time to jump in if you haven't been following us up until now, because we're starting with the next Doctor, David Tennant, which I think a lot of people is a very like familiar face for a lot of people. So that'll be a good time to join us. And we're doing sort of a curated watch, so you don't have to see every single episode, which also helps. And yeah, otherwise watch me playing D&D over on twitch.tv/DMPhilly. We do the Humble Year show sometimes. Old episodes of that are over on YouTube. YouTube is getting handles now, which will be very helpful, so I can stop saying just like search DMPhilly on YouTube. He can actually like have a thing. But otherwise, Kevin and I are both on the Dragonfly show, D&D in Space. So you can check that out as well. That's really fun.
Awesome. So yeah, for me, I've got that Who Way stuff going on. You can follow me at Kev Mahadeo, and Everything is Super has finished its She-Hulk recap. A phenomenal series. I absolutely loved it. It's probably my favorite Marvel TV series. Sorry for other people who might be upset about that, but I truly adored it. So check that out. And Josh and I have been on a little bit break of as Josh has been covering House of the Dragon here on PSR. We are coming back, though, very soon. Josh and I will say, just watched Black Adam last night in theaters together. And we are going to be podcasting about that. So we're coming back on Everything is Super to talk about Black Adam. And then we have some plans about what's coming right after that as we head into November. It's going to be really fun. Connected, I would say, I think, to all of that. But we'll be making big announcements on where Everything is Super is headed. But it's going to be a good time. So check that out on your feed. I think that's it. That's it for this week. But we'll be back next time to cover episode 5 of Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Till then, quack quack, Melissa.
Bye.